This audio file is created by Panopreneur. You can get it at www.panopreneur.com. 7 Pentecost Wednesday. First posted July 2, 2008. Matthew 14:1-9, 18-23. The Parable of the Sower. Paraphrase. Jesus was sitting on the shore of the Sea of Galilee and a large crowd gathered around him. So he got into a boat and the crowd stood on the shore, and he taught them many things in parables, stories of everyday experiences used to convey spiritual truth. In the parable of the sower, a sower went out to sow, and some seed fell along the path and birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on rocky ground. Because there was no depth of soil, the seed sprouted quickly but soon withered because the roots had no depth. Some seed fell among thorns and as they grew the thorns choked them out. Some seed fell on good soil and yielded a harvest of 30, 60, or 100 times what had been sown. Jesus explained his parables privately to his disciples. The seed is the gospel, the word of God. The path represents those who hear the gospel without understanding. Satan comes and snatches it from their hearts before it has a chance to sprout. The rocky soil represents those who hear the word and receive it enthusiastically but do not allow the word to become deeply rooted in them. When trouble or persecution arises, they wither and fall away. Thorny ground represents those who hear the word, but the cares and pleasures of this world choke it and it becomes unfruitful. The good soil represents those who receive the soil and allow it to grow to maturity and produce fruit. Commentary. The parable of the sower describes our spiritual situation. In America and even within the church today, there are many people who haven't heard the gospel with understanding. There are those who think they know, they've heard about Jesus, but they haven't allowed the gospel to take root in their hearts and lives. Or they have allowed the gospel to sprout but not put down deep roots, so that when trouble happens they fall away. Or they have allowed worldly possessions and pleasures to crowd out the gospel. A Christian is a disciple of Jesus Christ, Acts 11:26c, who has been born again, John 3:3-5-8, by the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit, which only Jesus gives, John 1:31-34, only to his disciples who trust and obey Jesus, John 14:15-17. Seekers and believers are to be discipled within the church by mature, born-again disciples until they are reborn, Luke 24:49, Acts 1:4-5-8, and then they are to be guided and empowered by the indwelling Holy Spirit to be fruitful, Ephesians 2:10, and help in the spiritual harvest of many times their own souls. Born-again Christian disciples are then to go into the world and make born-again disciples, Matthew 28:19-20. Unfortunately, in many nominal churches this is not happening. Many churches are settling for making members and building buildings, instead of making disciples and teaching them to trust and obey all that Jesus teaches. Many church people think that discipleship is an optional category of super-Christian. Discipleship is a process of spiritual growth toward spiritual maturity. Jesus showed us how the church is supposed to do it. The first disciples were with Jesus 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for about 3 years, and still were not ready to go into the world and proclaim the gospel until they had been born again. On the first Christian day of Pentecost, Acts 2:1-13, the birthday of the church. The Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, was intended by God to be the replacement for Judas Iscariot, the betrayer. Instead of Matthias, whom the disciples elected when they were supposed to be waiting for the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit, Acts 1:15-26. Paul was intended by God to be the prototype and example of all modern, post-resurrection, born-again, disciples and apostles of Jesus Christ, as we all can and should become. His conversion, Acts 9:1-22, is unique because it happened in days instead of years, but that is because he already loved God and had been formally educated in the biblical scriptures. He just needed to realize that Jesus was the Messiah, Christ, God's promised anointed Savior and eternal King. Paul's conversion is intended by God to be the model for the church. Paul was confronted by the spirit of the risen and ascended Jesus on the road to Damascus, Acts 9:4-5. Paul accepted Jesus' rebuke and lordship, Acts 9:5a, and became obedient to Jesus' command, Acts 9:6. Paul's loss of physical vision was intended to make Paul aware of his spiritual blindness. He went into Damascus and repented with prayer and fasting for 3 days, waiting for the fulfillment of Jesus' word, telling him what to do. A born again disciple, Ananias, was led by the Holy Spirit to go to Paul, Acts 9:10-16, and disciple him until Paul was born again by the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit, Acts 9:17-18, and then Paul was guided and empowered to proclaim the gospel, Acts 9:20-22. Jesus attracted large crowds, but not everyone allowed the gospel to take root and produce fruit. Jesus preached in parables, so that people were free to not understand if they chose, but Jesus explained his parables to those who were willing to be his disciples. Is Jesus your Lord? Matthew 7:21-23, Luke 6:46. Are you Jesus' disciple? John 8:31. Are you trusting and obeying Jesus? John 14:21. Have you received the indwelling Holy Spirit since you first truly believed? Acts 19:2. Are you making disciples of Jesus Christ and teaching them to obey all that Jesus commands? Matthew 28:18-20. Do you know with certainty where you will spend eternity? 1 John 5:11-13, Ephesians 1:13-14.